morning.
Morning, Sensei.
I mentioned this last week, but just a lead into this talk today. A couple of weeks ago, I went to San Francisco for a week, which usually requires flying. And I find the seats on the airplane incredibly uncomfortable. And I have this fantasy that there are these little cameras, and whoever created these seats sees me like twisting around and trying, and is having a good laugh. So to distract myself from the discomfort, I somehow got into the practice of taking a sheet of paper as I was sitting there and just writing notes that came to my mind. And one of the things that I was thinking about is the question, what is life? Now, what usually happens is when we ask a question like, what is life? I think what we usually do is to present a definition. And to understand life, I don't think a definition is helpful. A definition is a box, it's a container, and it takes away the freedom of the question, what is life? And to understand the answer of this to this question is not to have a definition, but to have an experience. And we come closer to answering the question if we realize that we are life, and that life is us as well. Katagiri Roshi is a Japanese teacher, and he said, the meaning of life is to live and let the flower of your life force bloom. Now, he's not really giving a definition, and I don't take his use of the word meaning in the usual sense, but he's pointing to this experience about letting our life force, letting our true nature, letting our being express itself, and not confined by the ideas that we have of who we are, or the ideas that we have of what is the meaning of life. From my perspective, there is no meaning to life. There is just life. And we learn, we practice to just live life and allow life to be who we are. And when we look for a meaning to life, we're again creating or looking to create a container, a way that we can confine life in a box so we can hold it instead of being expansive and letting it be what it is. And the other part of this is each new moment is an opportunity to live life fully, right? In a sense, we're not stuck with the life that we have if that's the way we look at it. Because each new moment is an opportunity to live life in a different way, to live life more freely. Each moment is fresh. So, you know, I suppose the thought is, well, that sounds really nice, but how do we do that? So we could say that we fully live life if we free ourselves, if we let go of the trap that we create by our mind. And probably the single biggest trap is of wanting to get it right, right. We want to get our life right. We have a particular idea on what that means. And our practice is a good example, I think, of that. We sit and we have a positive and a negative. A good sit, you know, we might say, oh man, I had a great sit this morning. And that immediately creates the idea that there's a crappy sit. And so we get stuck in the middle of this. And it's about escaping the box of pass-fail, right? We live our life within this box. We're constantly making a judgment of whether we are passing in life, getting it right, or we're failing in life. And that takes the life out of life, getting stuck in that place. We like ourselves. We don't like ourselves. This person is a good person. That person is a bad person. And I don't know if you can feel it, but I can feel it in my body as I say that. Life becomes squished and squished and squished until all we have is whatever the pass-fail relationship that we have created with our mind. Now, this is a quote. I don't remember where this comes from. But the quote is, when we lighten up, our good-hearted awareness stops trying to run away and begins making a home for itself. when we lighten up, our good-hearted awareness stops trying to run away and begins making a home for itself. To me, being lighthearted is being the opposite of having a pass-fail relationship with the world, right? It's very serious. We take it very seriously, and it's very painful a lot of the times to live our life with either you pass life or you fail life. But if you open that up and you stop trying to run away from this particular moment, life, in a sense, makes a home for itself in us. We become lighter. We become freer. So, in a sense, to live life, we have to understand the relationship that we have with ourselves. Now, I've mentioned this 100 times, but I love this quote by Suzuki Roshi. And he says, if you want to control your sheep or cow, give it a large pasture. So if you want to control your sheep or cow, give it a large pasture. Right? Just imagine yourself for a moment, a cow or a sheep, and you live in this fenced-in area that's like 10 by 10, and you're stuck in there, right? There's not a lot of movement, not a lot of way to be free. It's confining, and that's the box that we create for ourselves. And so when we are working with living life, we take away the fence. And man, does that feel free. It's a wonderful feeling when that starts to happen. The other thing is, I would say in my experience anyway, is getting stuck in this confined place where we don't really allow ourselves to live our life is very lonely. Our connection to the world around us is very limited. And emotionally, I would say that being that way, having that relationship with life, is very lonely. Now, the opposite of being lonely, of being not alone, is to have the experience that we are part of everything. And we're part of everything all the way down to a speck of dust. So this is a haiku. Dust motes floating in the morning sunlight. If we are not in that corral, we realize that. We realize that we are that dust mote. So I'm going to end by reading a couple of things that I thought might be helpful in understanding this. And the first thing comes from Rumi. And Rumi talks about being helpless, allowing ourselves to be helpless. And as you see, I'll read a little bit about this later, helpless doesn't mean helpless in the usual way that we think of it. Helpless means letting go of our confining mind. So Rumi never wrote down a word of his poems. He would spin around a pillar in the mosque, absorbed in the depths of his loving, and words would fly out of his mouth like honeybees. A scribe would catch them on the wing with his quill. Out of his spinning, the whirling dervishes arose. These lovers of God, known as Sufis, would soon swim in the mystical ocean of Islam rather than stay on the orthodox shore. On the orthodox shore, Tamim means in that corral. Rumi, then, was a great spiritual teacher as well as a poet. And if the taste of his words seemed to grow sweeter and sweeter through the centuries and spread everywhere in the form of translation, it is because his wisdom is timeless. His wisdom is unconfined. So Rumi wrote, "Be helpless, be dumbfounded, unable to say yes or no, unable to say I'm a good person or I'm a bad person, beyond yes or no, good or bad." So Rumi is urging us not to demean or debase ourselves, but to be willing to stand up there with our jaw dropped open, dumbfounded and helpless before the immensity, the impossibility of our lives. The Rumi is not asking us to cringe in a corner, to feel small or to fall into depression because we don't know what to do or where to go. This is not the kind of helplessness he has in mind. Ultimately, these are all postures of defense in the face of immensity. Look around, he is saying. Look at the millions of dust motes dancing. Stand there, arms wide open, and embrace the unspeakable paradox. Be dumbfounded, strung between yes or no, this direction and that, that answer and this. Not confined by one or the other. And I would be remiss if I didn't read something from Mary Oliver, who I think gives a lovely description about learning to live life fully. This is from a poem, or this is a poem called Journey. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stone. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. So as we leave those voices behind, as we leave all those thoughts and ideas of good and bad, confining ourselves, letting ourselves out of jail, out of the jail that our minds create. So that was an airplane ride home from San Francisco. Thanks.